Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Layup Lines podcast. I'm Michael Chapman, joined, as always, by Seth Horton and Nick Velasquez. First time since spring break, I think we've all three been on the same show together, so should be fun. Yeah.
Yeah,
because Seth was gone last week, and then you were gone 2 weeks ago. So
what was I gone for?
You...
Did I have work?
I think so. Yeah, you had to work a softball game or something.
Probably.
I forgot you was working softball.
Yeah, and then... Me and Nick and Cedric did the pod last week. They didn't run that podcast. They didn't run that episode. I think it's just because of all of Cedric's stupid hot takes.
Yeah, because Cedric is an idiot.
Yeah.
I can't do another podcast with him.
Yeah, no. We're not inviting him back on the show. Sorry, Cedric. I know you're listening. One of our seven listeners.
I'm gonna make you listen to this podcast, too.
I love Cedric. But the dude's takes are hot.
All right, come on.
So we're in the middle of the first round of the NBA playoffs. Nick, your Thunder tied at 1-1 with the Jazz right now.
Definitely game one. I loved playoff P, but game two they choked at that. I don't know what happened. And we was on NBA TV, and I couldn't. Was we on NBA TV then?
Yeah, you were.
We were. Yeah, I couldn't watch. I was pissed. But
yeah, the Westbrook, George, and Melo, the quote-unquote big three. I think Adams is a much better player than Melo, but we won't get into that.
Not today.
The quote-unquote big three combined for 2 points and no baskets in the fourth quarter.
That's crazy.
We can't win a game like that.
Yeah. Like,
especially against even just Utah, we can't even do that again. So
we're talking about former MVP, top five two-way player in the game, and one of the third best offensive player in our generation, combining for 2 points and no baskets in the fourth quarter of a playoff game.
I figured Russ should at least get to the line.
Yeah.
He did get to the line. Shot two free throws.
Made them both.
That
was it.
But, I mean, PG didn't score a thing. I think he was like 0-for-5 from the field. Melo was 0-for-3 or 0-for-4, and Russ was 0-for-5 as well.
And that's crazy to me, considering how great of a game one PG had.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No. PG.
Was cooking.
Yeah.
Cooking.
That was one of the best, like, just, especially for a guy who hadn't really done it yet in the playoffs. Like a LeBron or someone, that was one of the better playoff performances I've seen.
Yeah.
Like, what was it, 8 3-pointers or something?
Yeah.
Crazy like that.
Like 8-for-11, I think.
Yeah, that was absolutely insane.
Off the dribble, everything.
Yeah. But
that's a good series.
But Drew Holiday's 33?
Drew Holiday's going off.
Yeah, no, he's my man of the playoffs right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he's a UCLA guy? Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, this is what the Pels were supposed to be, like, a few years back. But, like, Drew Holiday just, like...
He kept getting hurt.
Yeah, he stays with injuries.
Yeah. Drew Holiday doesn't get the credit he deserves.
No.
Like, when he's healthy, he's a top... He might be a top 10 point guard in the NBA when he's healthy.
Yeah, I'd give him that. I'd definitely give him that.
Or I guess he's a shooting guard now that Rondo's there. But
Playoff Rondo. Shout out Playoff Rondo.
All right, we're not going exactly according to the
it's fine.
The schedule we set up here,
fine.
This can go ahead and lead us into our brand new segment, Seth. The Pelicans are up 3-0 on the Blazers right now.
That's confusing.
This is very perplexing.
But, I mean, you know, you look at – if you actually, like, took a look at the Pelicans roster going into this, like, I know DeMarcus Cousins is out, but, I mean, Mirotić has some playoff experience from a couple of years ago with the Bulls. He played well in that series against Boston. And then, like, Playoff Rondo, Drew Holiday, and then the second leading points per game playoff scorer of all time in Anthony Davis.
Okay, but also, the Blazers are supposed to be much better than this.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah, it's not absolutely. Even
like, I'm not discounting what the Pelicans are doing, but the Blazers got to step it up. Like,
oh, absolutely.
I expected more out of Dame, definitely.
Same. Absolutely. Damian Lillard didn't even take a shot till like 2 minutes left in the first quarter yesterday. Or the, yeah, last night, I guess.
You're not going to win.
LeBron, too. But anyway, we'll wait for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's like the, how he was finishing up that year, this year. I figured he'd be going into playoffs high right now. But
yeah,
I don't know where
he's at. I mean, like a month ago, we did an episode and I said that Damian Lillard, like in that 10-game stretch that he was in, was playing as well as Steph did his unanimous MVP.
I remember that.
I remember that. I definitely remember that.
But, I mean, Damian Lillard is one of the most talented players at the point guard position and in general in the NBA. And then CJ McCollum should be one of the best shooting guards in the NBA. But they just haven't been getting it done. Nurkic hasn't been playing particularly well either.
You're going against Anthony Davis.
Ed Davis has been playing phenomenally. Phenomenally. Gosh.
The two best Davises in the NBA, right?
Yeah.
Can I say that?
Yeah, definitely.
Ed and Anthony. But.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. The Blazers, you're right, Nick, absolutely have to step it up. They're down 3-0, so probably this season isn't going to be the season for them. But
no.
I don't think an NBA team has ever come back from that type of deficit. But
No,
not a 3-0.
Yeah.
And that was,
All right, so transitioning from a brand new segment to a segment we implemented earlier this semester.
One we all love.
Courtroom.
Courtroom session.
We gotta get like
Drew Bledsoe is on trial.
We need sound effects.
We
for
do
this.
Need sound effects for these. Like,
yeah, I don't
have like a court knock.
I'm not trying to edit that much.
You don't edit at all.
Shut up.
You don't even put the theme music anymore in the beginning.
Shut up. I'm a busy man.
Yeah, Chap has priorities. It's okay.
I record the podcast. I write about Union basketball. Don't mention the fact that that's not going on anymore.
You sit in my dorm.
Play 2K, okay. Oh, this is the first episode that we're going to get off track a little bit here, but this is the first episode Nick's been on here since he didn't show up for the 2K tournament, or that Nick and Seth have both been on here. You've been ducking us.
Word on the street is...
Don't worry, I'm coming in this weekend. This weekend, I'm coming in, and the next podcast, we will have results.
Well,
we can talk about this on next podcast.
Well, the thing is, all of the basketball players that were promised to come to, that you promised us would come to the tournament, they all combined to win 0 games.
They did not show up.
The sports writers. A sports writer won every single game that was played. Let me put it that way.
We're not going to talk about the results of that.
No.
Yeah, it was 0-0.
Well, me and Seth both lost in the first round.
All right, look. Like I said, we're not talking about it.
Yeah, but.
Anyway, let's get to courtroom.
Bledsoe.
Courtroom.
Bledsoe.
Drew Bledsoe, Eric Bledsoe, whatever his name is.
Yeah, Eric Bledsoe, yeah.
Eric Bledsoe has been getting absolutely torched by the guy he's supposed to be defending in the first round against Boston, Terry Rozier. Terry's going off for like 23.5 points per game in this series. And
5 assists, 50% from behind the arc.
Yeah, like just a step back, easy shot that should have won the game in game one. That Bledsoe didn't even attempt to
He broke this man's ankles so badly.
He just quit on the play.
He got back up to his feet and just looked at Terry as Terry drained a three that would have won the game.
It was
if Chris Middleton was
the second best. It was the second best like step back three of the season behind Harden's, in my opinion. And Eric Bledsoe, after game two, came out and said, Terry Rozier I don't know who the F that is.
Eric
Bledsoe, actually, no. I believe him. I don't think he knows who Terry Rozier is.
I think he thinks he's still a backup.
Yeah, he hasn't. Eric Bledsoe has not been in the same vicinity on defense as Terry Rozier this entire series, even though he's his primary defender.
But, blown right
like,
past.
I mean, he's had to have seen him on like a scouting report, something. Coach didn't tell you something in the timeout? Nothing?
Eric Bledsoe doesn't read the scouting reports, Nick.
No, he just wants to get traded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually felt a little bit bad for Eric Bledsoe in Phoenix, as far as he was a pretty good player who had been stuck in
Phoenix
his whole career. But honestly, I have no sympathy for the guy at this point. Like,
he was an all-star type player too in Phoenix. When he was healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But
if
Terry Rozier had like done one fluky play or whatever that the media was covering and he got asked about Terry Rozier and he had been dominating Terry the whole series, then yeah, I can understand his response. But when you are getting when you're getting your butt handed to you
demolished in
an individual matchup, you can't just say, oh, I don't know who that guy is.
Look, man, Drew was averaging 10 points on
36%.
Yeah, Eric.
I don't know who that is.
He's shooting like 36% from the field, 30% from deep, or 33% from deep.
And
it's just bad, man.
And Terry had every right to call Eric Bledsoe Drew Bledsoe because he's been dominating that matchup. You can talk trash if you can back it up on the court.
He's kind of a rookie, and I don't even think he meant to do it either. It just slipped out.
It probably. But here's the thing, man. Like, Eric, like, when he said he didn't know who that is, he, like, puts his head down, scratches his head. He's talking real quiet.
Scratched his waves.
Yeah, when you mess up on defense, and, I mean, when you mess up in general in two straight games and you don't play well, you've got to own up to it, man. Like, you can't be saying, I don't know who this guy is. And
so I think we have a consensus here. Guilty.
Guilty.
Definitely guilty.
My sentence is he needs to get traded back to the Suns.
That's a little harsh.
I think he should spend a detention period writing Terry Rozier's name on a blackboard.
Yes.
Oh,
I like
there
that
we
one.
Go. There we go.
I like that one.
Write-offs. Terry Rozier the fourth. But just over and over.
It's the third. It's the third.
I'm thinking of Wade Baldwin. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
All right, we're going to move on.
Yeah.
We're going to move on because I'm upset now.
I apologize. I apologize, guys. But
I don't know who that is.
But moving to another series in the East, Cavs-Pacers has been just a really, really interesting story.
It's been weird.
Yeah.
Lance and LeBron, baby. Doesn't get better than that.
Like,
he's coming to fulfill a prophecy from 2014.
Yeah.
I said last week that this was the most, like, lopsided 4-5 matchup I've ever seen.
I told you. I said, don't count out them Pacers.
Watching Victor Oladipo in game one was incredible. Like, he'll stand at, like, right at half court and just go full speed right at the defender. And if the defender comes up, then he just slips right around him. And then you've got Kevin Love trying to stop Depot from scoring, and that's not going to happen.
The beautiful thing about Depot is that he's real decisive.
Yeah.
Like, he might not take the best shots, but he doesn't waste time thinking about whether he should or not. He just does.
Absolutely. If you give him any room at all, if you don't step up, he's just going to pull up and drain a three right on your face.
He does that.
I think the Cavs need to start Tristan Thompson personally so that when that happens, they can play up on him and then they'll still have a good defender in
over
the paint.
Over who?
Over who? Over Jeff Green or whoever it is that's starting right now. Jeff Green started game
Kevin
one,
Love?
I think. Kevin Love should start at power four.
Okay, good. I was about to say, because like, you need Kevin Love in this game. He's the second best player that the Cavs have right now.
Second best offensive player.
Who's the second best overall player?
Second best overall player? Okay, Kevin Love. Maybe it might be Kevin Love. It might be Kevin Love. I think Larry Nance might have a case for that. Larry Nance does a whole lot on defense.
Disagree.
And he's great in the pick and roll, and he gets rebounds. And I think those are three things that the Cavs really need in this series,
yeah,
especially.
Yeah, he's a good role player. But Kevin Love's giving you 25 and 12. Like,
Kevin Love's not giving you 25. Kevin Love isn't in Minnesota anymore,
I
Nick.
I know, but he needs.
Kevin LeBron Love's giving you 18 and 9.
LeBron's need those games out of
yeah.
Kevin Love.
Yeah.
That's why he's in the game, because he has that potential.
Oh, what yeah. I love, though,
Larry
is
Larry Nance is giving you 12 and 10, maybe.
Yeah, but he's doing he's doing 100 times more than Kevin Love on defense.
So. I'm going to say this, man. LeBron hasn't had a worse team than this, maybe ever.
Oh, well, not his rookie too. Year. And
see, that,
his
I mean,
first
well,
year
I'm
years.
Thinking about in the playoffs.
Oh, in the playoffs?
Yeah. Like, there was the one in, what was it, 2007 or 2008 or whatever?
Yeah.
The one he took to the finals?
Yeah. Like, they were bad. Yeah,
they were not great. Like, they had a
but I think
few
his team
better
is worse
pieces
is what I'm saying.
Than this team, though. Yeah. Yeah. I think there was, like, once or twice before that he made the playoffs. That
like, this man
team,
in game two scored, I want to say it was, like, 16 points before anyone else scored.
Yeah. LeBron scored the first 13 points of the game
yeah.
and the first 16 points for the Cavs. It was absolutely bonkers.
I mean, that's what – I don't even want to say it's bonkers. Like, he has to do that. He doesn't have a choice.
Yeah.
Like,
and
no
then,
one else is showing up.
And then he was so gassed the rest of the first half that the Pacers brought it back to, like, a five-point game and only lost the game by, like, six overall.
If they lose, I want to put Rodney Hood on trial.
Ooh.
Because he has been playing terrible. He's been turning it over every time he gets it. His percentages are horrible.
He
right
hasn't
now.
Been great since he got there.
No, he hasn't. And he's been hurt, too. Mm. Yeah, I want to put him on trial.
That's fair. We'll
see what happens.
If they lose the series, Rodney Hood's on trial next week or
he's
the week after.
Yeah, he's definitely on trial.
Also, that's going to be some big news because that'll be the first round in the playoffs that LeBron has lost.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't think they'll do it.
You don't think the Pacers will do it?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think they will, but I didn't think they'd come in and just
be blowing them out.
Blowing them out in game one.
Like,
in Cleveland.
The Pacers have been by far the better team in this series, and they've got 3 of 5 home games now. So, we'll see what happens. Like, I don't think it will happen either because of LeBron,
But also,
I think the Pacers might be the better team.
They have Lance Stephenson. And Lance Stephenson.
Anything can happen with Lance Stephenson.
He's a game changer.
The Stephenson versus LeBron rivalry, or whatever you want to call it.
Oh, it's a rivalry.
It's definitely a rivalry. Like, it's just so funny because LeBron could go down as one of the greatest players ever. And it's.
Lance
Stephenson. Like,
Lance
he didn't have a better nemesis than that.
LeBron is one of the greatest players ever. He's already top 15. You can't even argue against that.
He's top
10. Yeah, yeah. But and then Lance Stephenson, you can't.
He's not cracking top 200.
Oh, absolutely
not.
I don't know that he's in the top 200 in the NBA right now.
I mean,
he probably is.
I'll give him that. I don't even know there's 200 guys in the NBA.
I haven't watched many players with an uglier game than he has, but it's so entertaining to watch because, like, everything he does looks like it shouldn't work, but, like, they're like most of the time it does.
Yeah,
like, most of the time.
Yeah, blowing in LeBron's ear at the free throw line.
Still my favorite playoff moment.
That's my favorite meme of all time, I think.
Yeah,
you've got the mocking SpongeBob, which is right up there with that for me, but
yeah,
Stephenson blowing in LeBron's ear.
Classic.
Legendary.
Legendary. That is. That's an appropriate word for it.
Yeah. But, so I want to get into now another kind of rivalry that's building up right now. Heat-Sixers.
Yeah.
This has been probably the most heated series in the playoffs so far. Yesterday, I know Wade and Anderson got into it. Justice Winslow stepped on Joel Embiid's mask. Yeah,
Dragic got a double tech with who was it? Was it Saric? Maybe.
Maybe.
Sure.
It was one of the. Oh, it was Bellinelli.
Yeah, I knew it was one of the white guys.
It was one of the European players. I was like, yeah, but Dario Saric and
two foreigners,
Marco Bellinelli, were like 2 to 3 feet away from each other, like just talking back and forth. They didn't even look that angry and got the double tech.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what? For that?
They tried to give that to Thon Maker and Terry Rozier the other day, too, but that one got rescinded by the league.
It's just crazy, man. Like, I think these refs are a little power hungry right now.
Yeah. Trial. Definitely trial. Because people in the NBA are getting thrown out of the NBA game so easy now.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
And it's quick. They'll give you a quick tech. If you
I'm not a conspiracy theory guy, but I think this is just trying to make headlines. Like, you get a guy 4 techs going into the finals, 4 techs in the playoffs going into the finals, and all of a sudden, like, one more and he's out. Like, that's a storyline. That's another reason for people to watch. Yeah. I think a lot of this stuff, and, like, Kevin Durant getting kicked out, like, 5 times or something this season. It might have been more than that.
Durant low-key deserves some of those, though.
Yeah, he does.
Like, I'm that's okay. Fair. Like, if you give somebody a tech and they deserve the tech, and then they keep jawing at you and you give them a quick double tech and eject them. Like, that, I'm more okay with that if they deserved the first tech. Yeah. My problem is the refs keep giving out these techs just, like, left and right. It's like candy, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like,
and I think part of that, especially in a series like this Heat Sixers series, is
let them be chippy.
Well, they're trying to not let people get into fights and stuff, because
let them.
These two teams hate each other. Hassan Whiteside and Joel Embiid absolutely can't stand each other.
I think Hassan hates Embiid, and Embiid thinks that Hassan is hilarious.
That's fair.
That's definitely a good way to put it.
That's fair. Embiid is just the most arrogant player in the NBA.
He's pretty arrogant.
But he is the truth, though.
You're a Joel fan?
I'm starting to become one. Like, of his play, I don't really like or mind what he says too much, but
he's kind of neutral on him as a person, but yeah, like as a player.
But as a player, he's coming.
Like, yeah, I agree. I think he's probably going to be the best center in the game at some point in his career.
I think right now he's like just a little bit overrated, because I think like what he brings to the table, like he can't really space the floor for real. Like,
he can't,
he's open, he'll hit them. Every now and then he'll hit a contested one, but like it's inconsistent. Like, if he can pick that up, I'd give him a little bit more. But I think right now people give him a little bit too much credit. But I think he's on his way. I think he's on his way to deserving it. In a couple seasons, if he stays healthy, then he'll probably, be the best center in the league.
I think he already has a case. I don't think he's quite here yet, but I think there's a case to be made for best defensive center in the NBA.
Offensive, too.
Offensive, he's got some really nice post moves, for sure.
He has some post moves. And he'll take you off the dribble, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, he's definitely up there.
I mean, I think I would put, like, DeMarcus Cousins above him right now as far as offense. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But definitely. Embiid, I think Embiid has the most upside of anyone. His young, probably, in the whole league.
Maybe.
Ben Simmons, too.
Ben Simmons starts shooting with his right hand.
He might have to, because his jump shot is ugly.
That poor man.
That poor man jump shot.
Doesn't have the ugliest jump shot on the Sixers right now, though.
Who does?
Markelle Fultz.
Oh, yeah.
Markelle Fultz has been balling, but that's just been, like, dishing out assists and playing good defense.
Yeah, he's been all
right. Well, man, we can't blame him for that, though. Like, this is – oh, yeah. That's, like, that's 80-90% Danny Ainge's fault.
But, yeah, what do you guys think about this series going forward? Who do you think comes out on top?
Embiid's bag is close to over.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be close games, at least.
Yeah, I think it'll be close games and things like that, but I think the Sixers will get them.
Yeah, I'm going Sixers in six. I think the Heat bounce back and win this next one at home, and then the Sixers win two in a row.
I can see that.
I get that.
Yeah.
But, what about Cavs-Pacers?
That's a hard one. That's a hard one to call. I'm going to have to – I'm going to not doubt LeBron. And I'm going to say Cavs in probably six, maybe seven.
I'm going Cavs in seven.
Seven?
I'm excited about this.
If it goes seven, I'm going to be real surprised. I'm not going to lie.
Really?
I'll be really surprised.
I think if anyone wins, it's going to be a six.
You was going in five.
Mm-hmm.
You, I don't even know. You said maybe even a sweep.
Yeah, I said four or five.
Yeah,
but
four or five.
After watching this Pacers these last couple of days, and also after watching the Cavs these last couple of days, I'm going seven.
Also, to be fair, if JR starts catching from outside,
that's a big if.
It's a big if, but like that's a huge momentum shift right there.
Absolutely,
because JR is really an X factor. He has been for the last couple seasons.
He is. But that's tough.
It is tough.
I might go Cavs in seven too. Because we're going to Indiana right now for two games. Oh, it's gonna be tough.
Oh, this is crazy.
Oh yeah.
What a good playoff.
This has been a good playoff series for real.
This is the first year I've been like just super excited about the first round in a very long time. Since Golden State was like the sixth seed back in like 2011 or 12 or something, I think this is the most excited I've been about a first round. Well, just the first round of the playoffs in general.
Yeah. Also, and you were here for this, Cedric thinks that the C's, my Celtics, are about to drop four straight games to the Bucks.
No.
I haven't heard that from him today. And I really don't, because I might hit him. But
Eric Bledsoe is going to have to start playing better if they want to grab four straight. I don't care what Giannis does. Giannis can score 50 for all I care. If Eric Bledsoe doesn't start defending Terry Rozier.
It's a wrap.
Yeah.
I think the Bucks pull off one of these next two games. I don't know which one, but I think it's going to be Celtics in five at home.
I'm really excited for tonight, because I think if we win tonight, I think it's a sweep. If we don't win tonight, I think we'll probably beat them in five or six.
Yeah.
I can't see this one going seven, though.
No, I can't either. But
we got anything else on the docket?
Well, I don't think we do, actually. This has been a little bit shorter episode, like a couple minutes shorter than usual. But
what are we on time?
28. So.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, unless you want to talk baseball.
No, I think we're good. No. We'll see you guys later. Tune in for the next episode of Layup Lines. Thanks for listening.